Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the radio show where we talk about the Akashic Records, and we talk about how people are using the Akashic Records in their life, how they've benefited from the Akashic Records, and the full spectrum of what you can do with the Akashic Record energy. You'll notice that my voice is a little bit hoarse and raspy tonight. I'm not really trying to be sexy. I'm just getting over a cold. And actually, it's actually coming on. So I have a friend of mine that's going to be helping me with some questions tonight, because what I have found is that when you ask questions, or when I have someone on the line asking questions, I can actually go deeper into the Akasha than if I just sit here and talk to you from me. And so my friend and student, Nikki Lopresti, has agreed to at the last minute, kind of, because I said, Nikki, I don't know that I can do this on my own tonight because I'm not at the top of my game. And so she said okay, that she would give up some time and be a part of the program. So first of all, we want to welcome Nikki Lopresti to our show. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. Nikki's been a student of the Akasha for a few years now, and she's gone to level two. She's emailed me some questions. And what I want to also tell folks is that if you want to know more about the Akashic Records and what I do with the Akashic Records, and you can go up to the BBS Radio website, and all my information is on that website, and I'm about to upgrade it tonight after we get off with the workshops that are coming up. We've got three in January. We've got one in Cleveland, one in Columbus, and one in Louisville, Kentucky. And so if that's of interest to you, if you email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, I'll be glad to give you the new updated schedule. So, Nikki, you have some very interesting questions here. So what Nikki sent in, and what I'd like you to do is kind of expound on those a little bit, but do you want to read them or shall I?
Okay, well, I can read what I sent in.
Sure.
And then maybe we can go off from there.
Great.
I was just thinking of, I'm sure at this time of year, a lot of people are thinking as the year is winding down and we're about to start a new one, people are starting to consider New Year's resolutions. And or possibly already have begun to make changes or transitions in their lives. And so I was wondering that it might be helpful to talk about, as you start to change and you're starting to move toward new things, how you can best interact with others in your lives who think that, oh, they already know you've behaved this way and you're always going to behave that way, and they want to keep you in the old roles and ways that they have dealt with you. And so I wondered about how you can best support yourself in transitioning to the new you so that you can more easily and fully become your true self.
Well, that's a really great question. I know that there's a lot of people out there that allow families as well as friends and acquaintances or work or coworkers that, in other words, like, we're all evolving. And as we evolve, what we need to do is we need to, and many people can hold us in that stuck position because that's where they were. The reference that's coming forward is that when we go to a reunion, a high school reunion, the first inkling is to, we don't really do it consciously, but we somehow expect people to look exactly the way they looked when they graduated high school, like they were frozen in time and we're the only ones that got older. And I know that's been my experience. And so what's coming forward from the records is that for people who are evolving, and especially light workers who are evolving on an ever-deepening level, they may in fact look the same on the outside. But what the family members and the friends can't see is the expansion within. And with that expansion comes the inner knowing that we are different. And And so there's a gap. There's not only an information gap that happens between people who expect you to continually to act the way you normally, that you have acted in the past, or there's also that, so there's an information gap and there's an expectation gap. And where the pain comes in is when the person who is evolving has the expectation that the people they're interacting with, their expectation is that those other people are going to get, that they have evolved and are getting more expanded. And I'm just going to call family members just because it makes it easier to identify. So when family members, for example, have a concept of who a person is and are not willing to give that up, then that stays locked in, and yet the other person has this expectation that their family is going to change. And so the pain comes in when the expectation is not met. And not only is the expectation not met, but there are statements that are said that cause the evolving light worker to doubt their very existence or to doubt their own expansion, because as soon as someone talked to them, they feel like they're 8 years old again. Do you understand what, you know, can you identify with that?
Right.
And so what happens is that it has, the expectation piece literally has to be modified so that for the person who is expanding, they have to modify their expectation and realize that those family members have no reference to who, and I'm just going to use you as a you for right now,
sure.
Nikki, have no reference for who you are right now. Because they don't have a reference, because they don't have it within them to do the shifting that you're shifting with, they have no reference for it. So it's like they can't give you what they don't have. And the pain comes in when we expect them to know what we know, or at least know what we have been expanding, and they still operate in a way that sets an expectation of failure to us. In other words, I'm being prodded to make a comment. A friend of mine, I was talking to her about a project that I had in mind and asked her what her opinion was. And her comment was, oh, I wouldn't bother with that. That's just another thing for you to fail at.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that comment cut me like a knife. And what it caused me to do is step back and say, in what way has she observed me as failing? Or, better yet, in what way have I observed myself as failing, so as to give that that energy off, or to hold that energy that it could be accessed. On the other hand, it was also, and there was like, and that's a very interesting kind of dynamic, because it was also her energy of her reflecting back of things that she has failed at. So it was a combination of her opinion of maybe things that she's seen me do or not understood what I did, or the success of it, or the lack of success, whatever, as well as her own personal failure at the time that there were things going on in her life. So the comment came from her, okay, as one, and the intention, by the way, was not to hurt me. The intention was to support me. Can you see that? That makes sense to you?
Right. She was trying to say, yeah, don't waste your time with that or something.
Yeah, instead of saying, don't waste your, instead of saying, oh, well, it's probably not going to work out, or, or, you know, she put it in a way that really wounded me. I mean, there was like, at the time, it's like, whoa, you know. And it got me to such an extent that I wasn't even able to really talk to her about it because I didn't really know what to say. And until just now when we're talking about this, I really hadn't processed it to the extent of realizing that what I just said about the energy and stuff like that, I was just holding that comment in a place of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that our friends and our families, with their expectations, they say things like that to us that, with the intention of helping, but it doesn't. And so it's up to us to really start doing our own personal inventories so that the individual's comments don't stick in our field. That was a long way around a simple answer, I guess. Any comments on that?
Well, I mean, I'm wondering, how do you do that when you're saying, you know, sometimes it gets in there, you know, subconsciously, or you, as you said right now, you didn't realize maybe how she was relating to it or how you could have looked differently at it so it didn't wound you when she made that comment. And sometimes those people just make comments and you know.
Well, not only did it wound me, but it also affected my performance in the project.
Right.
You know, and...
So how do we prevent people's comments like that from sticking to us, from reacting the same way that we've always reacted?
And okay, so here's what's coming forward is, in the situation I just outlined to you, I hadn't expected that answer from her, so it was more of a surprise. Excuse me, it was a surprise shot, you know. In a situation where your family or other people that you know have a tendency not to believe in you or want to put you down, then it's really about moving into your own personal center to find out what part of you believes it's true. So when somebody says something like that, or anything for that matter, what you have to do is physically take a step back. And if putting them on notice doesn't work, you know, so for example, why would you say something like that if you're supposed to love me, or that didn't feel like a loving comment, or et cetera. You know, if you have come to the point where you realize that no amount of words will retrain them in how to treat you, then you need to really physically take a step back and say and move to a space of knowing that what they just said is not true. And it has to be extremely conscious. Extremely conscious. So for example, if somebody gives you a shot, it's I think you've heard me say this before as well as other people out there. If somebody were to say, hey, I hate your green hair, it wouldn't bother you because you don't have green hair. But if somebody said, hey, I don't like that haircut, and you just got your haircut and you thought it was pretty terrific, it would bother you. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is that we have to know that whenever somebody says something that gets us or pushes us off balance, that pushing of us off balance has to do with a part of us that believes that comment is true. And so what the record keepers are saying is that, and again, for people who have taken level one classes as well as the level two, three, there are grace points that you can hit so that doesn't stick on your field. But the other piece is literally just take a step back and make a conscious choice of saying, that's only their opinion, and it has nothing to do with my truth. And what happens is, if you say this enough, it creates a new groove, where all of a sudden you become stronger, and your shields are up, and then they can no longer affect your being. There's another comment, there's another statement, and again, you've heard me say this before. The statement is, they will no longer control my being by their lack of loving. And if we keep that in our mind, that will also help. In this particular situation that I just described, it didn't have to do with lack of loving. It had to do with the wrong phraseology, or the phraseology that hit me where I live, and it hit me to where my insecurities were. And so that's something that I need to work on, and I have to go into my records, and I have to say, okay, so tell me, I'm going to ask them to give me suggestions as to how to release the wounding, and how I can use that statement to be able to understand more about myself. Now, those are a few actions. And so your records are open. What would you say?
About what specifically? About
anything? Any comments to what was just said?
I'm not coming up with a.
See, it's one of the things that people do, or because actually it's interesting that you're asking these questions now, because I've had a series of clients that were asking questions like this in the last week.
Really?
Yeah, and it's because it's an issue, especially when you're with family, you know, and you've got, you know, with the holidays and things.
Right.
And so the deal is that there are times where a friend of mine used a statement, it's a very accurate statement, you just have to divorce your family. Like, you don't go around them unless you're strong enough. And as soon as you feel like you're not strong about what they're saying or the way they're treating you, you need to retreat either to another room or outside or physically leave the party altogether. Because it's
sometimes, too, what I'm getting is this, it's
sure.
Kind of better just, to let go of the idea that they have to see you in a new light right now,
right,
or in a new way. Like, maybe just let it go on with however they expect to see you, and not even get into the discussion or try and make the point that, no, things are different and blah, blah, blah right now.
Right.
Because they just so do not realize. So it's not worth it. It's not, and it's just draining on your energy to try and even engage them in that way.
Well, first of all, you have nothing to defend.
Right, right.
And so the idea here is to realize that's only their opinion. It has nothing to do with truth. I have nothing to defend. And I don't have to prove anything to them. All I have to do is be within my own integrity within me. And so that's what we were saying before about they may not even have the capability of being able to look at you or anybody else in a new light.
Right.
Because they're so stuck in their groove, in their rut. And I just want to stop for a moment and just mention to everyone that's listening out there, you know, your comments are welcome. This conversation that I'm having with Nikki is not an exclusive conversation. And if you have questions around this or anything else, we would love to hear from you. Please join into this conversation, or make comments or ask questions. This is not, again, an exclusive party here. So if you're outside of the, if you're in the U.S. and would like to call in, please call 877-876-5227. Lines are open. Or if you're in Canada, call 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, our country code is 01. or you can call direct at 530-876-3222. So we would love to hear from you. And we'd also like to acknowledge Akashic Record Consultants International, if you want to jump up on their website. The new classes are not up on the website, as far as I know, so if you're curious about what a teacher is doing in your area, call that individual teacher. That information is up on the website. Or if you're curious about what I'm doing, you can definitely give me a call. Nikki also does consultations, and we're going to get her number in a minute. And one other comment, we want to also acknowledge Lightspeed Learning with Thomas Morton coming up in Philadelphia and also all over the country and the world. So check out the website of www.lightspeed-learning.com, where you can download 1,000,000 words a minute in this new technology that he has to expand your consciousness. So I did my little commercial there. We can move on to our questions here. So now that you had a little bit of a minute or two to think about anything else, do you want to move on to is that helpful? Do you want to move on to another question?
That I just thought I had, that also that don't, when people are, you know, doing, when you're in transition and things like that, not to, to beat yourself up about that they're not getting it.
Right.
Or that they're not, you know, realizing what's going on with you, that it's something that, you know, you're not doing enough of.
That's right.
Because maybe they're just not in the right place or capable of getting it at the moment.
Yeah, I've had clients where they were totally ruled by the lack of approval of their families. They were fine in business, but the fact, whenever they had to come together with their families, they were always considered the sensitive one. They never felt safe. They always felt like the odd person out, that nobody understood them. And in many cases, the languaging of the family was abusive, was a violent languaging. So, for example, if somebody didn't like something, rather than telling someone that I don't agree with you, I don't like it, or whatever, they'd say, "What's wrong with you? I'd like to slap you upside the head," which is a violent way of speaking. And from a time a child is young, when they hear that kind of violent way of speaking, it gets ingrained to them that they are deserving of abuse rather than love. And so a person has sometimes a hard time moving out of the expectation of disapproval. So there's a part of them that so deeply seeks the approval. And then there's that little kid inside that expects the disapproval. And so there's the conflict within the individual. So in that respect, it would be very important for that individual to move into their own inner being and their own little kid. And again, I'm not an expert on inner child work. My friend Catherine Taylor is, but I'm not. But she got a great book called The Inner Child Workbook, by the way. We'll have to have her on. But the idea here is to really connect with that little one inside of you to see how you can reparent and relanguage that inner being. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's another way of looking at it. So I'm curious, how much do you think we take into consideration our authority figures or family of origin's idea of success when we're creating our goals and when we measure our success in our lives? What do you think, Nick?
Well, I don't know. I think it depends on, sometimes I think you almost get brainwashed by that you've been going along with that for so long, and sometimes it seems I think, or to other people, it could seem totally opposite, and it's a very good model of how, of what isn't success.
Right. 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 But I also, in other words, like, I think that it's, you know, at this time, you know, we're, this week between Christmas and New Year's, people are starting to think about their goals for the new year, you know. They're starting to think about New Year's resolutions. And I was just, you know, I just thought I'd throw that question out there as a curiosity. So what are the, what other questions do you have? Where are we going here tonight?
What questions do we have?
And again, you ladies and gentlemen out there, if you want to know something, this is time to call. And if you don't want to call in and you're too shy to call in, okay. But then email me your questions. And you can email the questions to info@akashicwisdom.com. Your questions and your participation make this program what it is. So give us a call, email a question, and we can help change your life tonight. That's a good way of thinking about it. So, with a new attitude or a new comment, or I've had people tell me, and they've emailed me, by the way, that some of the things that came forward in the program were life changing for them. So that's really helpful to hear. You know, that you're not talking to no one. That there really is people listening out there.
This was kind of going back to something that from last week's program, I think, or
okay.
It could have been. Actually, I'm not sure what week's program, but it's interesting. It's coming up, though, that it's also sometimes that we're talking about, you know, becoming more your true self, and you've talked about on the program before, you know, really speaking your truth. But
right.
Sometimes not speaking your truth actually serves you and assists you because it allows you to time to come more fully into your personal knowing and kind of protect that as a, you know, and not not be so open to the criticisms and judgments of other people that might not fully be understanding what's going on.
So expand on that. In other words, like what you're saying is, in other words, like not speaking your truth to others, but always speaking your truth to yourself. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Sometimes it's still continuing that, sometimes going along. So originally I was saying, my original question and or thought for the program was, you know, well, how can, you know, it was kind of reacting against these roles and states they wanted us to stay in. But sometimes it's helpful to stay in those, even though you know things are changing inside of you, as you said. But they're not aware of it externally as a way of protecting yourself.
Oh, sure. Caller, I'll be there right in just a second, but I just want to finish this comment. You know, when you're expanding, you're shifting, you're coming into your own, again, sharing it with other people who aren't going to get it is not going to serve you, and it's certainly not going to serve them. In many cases, it could only cause conflict. So, but the most important thing is to speak your truth to yourself. What you say to other people will evolve organically as the more confident you become.
Right.
We have a caller on the line, Nick.
Right.
Hi there, caller. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Great. And what is your name?
It's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Jose, California.
San Jose, California. Well, that's great.
Yes.
I love California, especially now in the winter in Cleveland.
Yeah. Hey, I just turned in, but I'm getting that the gist of the program with your guest was about how to deal in relationships and stuff over the holiday for people who might not be as highly aware. Is that what it was?
Yeah, we were basically talking about is how do people handle the family gatherings where when they've been doing a lot of evolving themselves and the family still thinks of them as 8 years old.
Yeah.
Or not being successful in certain things in their life, yeah.
Yeah, I started dealing with that challenge about 25 years ago, and so I don't do family anymore.
So you've divorced your family.
It was too painful to do that, and I've even sent them letters that said, you know, let's just assume, and I know you love me at Christmas and at my birthday, and I love you at Christmas and at your birthday, and kind of just left it at that. Because when they're living in that real duality at the third dimension, and they're still playing those old tapes, and everything gets triggered from, you know, past lifetimes and stuff, a person's never going to win, and I want to get away from that win-lose anyway, so.
Sure. Do you ever see your family?
No. No, not really.
No, I don't.
I say that again. No, I don't see them.
And how do you feel about that?
Oh, God, it's a relief.
Okay.
Yeah, because I would go back into that crazy-making insanity, like you said, about the person who, when the example you used about just how bad they were or something, I would get immediately pulled back into that, and it would make me feel crazy because they'd say, oh, you're crazy or whatever. So for me, part of the growing up has been, and there's that prayer by St. Francis of Assisi, it's better to love than to be loved. It's better to understand than to be understood. And for me, maturing as a you know, growing up, I've been able to see that they don't have to get it. And I always had this attitude, you know, they don't get it. Why don't they get it? They don't have to get it.
Right.
And that put the responsibility back on me that this isn't about them at all. This is about me. And that allowed me to take ownership. And part of growing up and taking ownership is that it just doesn't work to be around family. And I've worked it out with, you know, sending a card, or I call my sister-in-law or whatever. But you know what happens? Once I made that that internal kind of cut, it just happened anyway, and it wasn't a big brouhaha. Like some people say, oh, if I don't go over there, I mean, it's going to cause this rift. I think when we internally make the shift, it just goes away, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, I got it. It's interesting. There was a client that I was talking to the other day that said that she gets guilted if she tried to not go home for the holidays. They guilt her into saying that she doesn't love them. And I said, well, no one can make you feel any way that, you know, they can't force you to feel something.
Absolutely.
You need to look at why that's affecting you and where the truth is on that, because it has nothing to do with your truth if you know you love them, but your survival is not to be with them.
Absolutely. And I think that's where people get caught. You know, it's kind of like that little bind of where, yeah, they should be doing this, but then they're getting pulled in, and it's working through that at such a higher level than just a mental kind of process. And, I know a lot of people get caught in that, and the holidays is so bad about triggering that, too.
So tell me, Rebecca, did you ever think within yourself that you have now evolved to be strong enough to go back and experiment with being around them?
Oh, I have done that. I have done that, and there is so not anything there for me. And I know that it's, you know, being around people, they don't always have to, you know, I don't always have to get something from them.
Uh-huh.
But it would be just like going back to an old addiction, and it'd be like, this just doesn't work anymore, if that makes sense.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you've outgrown them.
Oh, absolutely. But I've made that be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've done my forgiveness work. In fact, I think it was you when I called in before about my mom that said, say that you forgive her for anything she may have said or done that harmed me, and then to do the reverse.
Right.
And that you had said, and it was true, she would never accept my forgiveness. We had been in past lives together, and you had revealed that to me and why there was this rub. And I did that work, and it helped a lot.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I really, when you said that people have called in and said there's been life-changing things that they've gotten from your program, that's true. That, you know, that helped move me through a lot of stuff. And, you know, like I've been trying to bump my head up against it for years and to talk therapy and everything. And it was like, oh, I can release this at an etheric level. And I did the heart to heart with her.
Right.
And then I'm done. It's like, that's it. There's nothing. And you know what she does with it is hers. And I don't even have to fidget with it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's now hers. And I honestly mean that. You know, I'm sure that they all wish me the best. and I do for them too. And I have a minimal interaction, like with my nephew and stuff, but overall, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot.
Well, and the thing is important for people to understand, if that works for you, that's what's wonderful. But the piece is that, interesting what they're saying, the piece is the piece.
Yes.
It's about finding what makes you as an individual feel the most peaceful. And if you cannot find peace and a person's still moving towards approval,
mm-hmm.
then the need for approval is what needs to be neutralized.
Exactly. It's the hook.
And
the hook can be really, really big. And,
yes.
So I've dealt with this for a long, long time. And I just talked to someone, and my sister-in-law said, you know, your mom just doesn't get it. Why you just don't want to interact with her? And I thought, that made me sad in a sense. That's exactly why I don't interact with her, but she doesn't get it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Sure, I do.
That sadness of, oh, wow. You know, and so for me to go do something, because I think that's what she would like, isn't being honorable to myself either.
Okay, well, hey, I think that, again, it's everybody has their own journey, and if that works for you, then that's where it's got to be.
It's funny that I actually have a friend, Rebecca, that kind of recently just divorced her family as well.
Uh-huh.
And it's because she said they were trying to have a relationship. You know, she had many issues with her parents over the years, and trying to have a relationship, and now she has children of her own, and they would only want to come around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And expect this whole relationship to be there, or these certain, you know, bond to be there. And she got to the point where she was saying, this is hurtful to me and my children. And she just decided mm-hmm. she had enough. And she's like, this isn't a real relationship to say that because, like, they were never supporting the rest of the time. And so that's just what's mm-hmm. going to work for her. And she feels fine about it, you know, to be able to say, you know, I'm not going to expect you to come around, or, you know, but to say that you want to show up and confuse things a couple of times a year because that's good for you, because of
right.
your guilt,
right?
Then, you know, but she doesn't feel any guilt that they're not together, so
right.
she's fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things people can do. I mean, one of the things that I've learned was people tell me, have a plan B, take your own car, have your own keys, have a backup plan if it doesn't work, where, you know what to do in case you get in this crisis mode where you feel like they're coming down on you, that you can just go, gotta go. You know, so it's like pre-planning, too, can help a lot, so that a person
oh, absolutely.
Has
That's
a plan
great.
To do that. And I know people who do spend time with the families. They want to do that. They feel like that's important to their kids, and that's great. But I do think it takes a mature person to be able to do that and not get their buttons triggered.
Well, sure. You have to have those buttons pulled in and shielded.
Yeah, unless, of course, it's your wake-up time about your buttons, and this is one way to...
Yeah, then it's time for you to go and take that walk in the snow or the walk on the beach and say, okay, what's really going on here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and the ultimate question for all of this is, what is the gift in the wounding?
Oh, yeah.
Why is this in my life?
Exactly.
You know, what's the deeper issue here of what I need to learn about me?
Exactly. Yeah. I had something come up in the past day or two, and I'm like, why is this here? And I could see myself acting as my mother, how I interpreted her feeling about something. I was having that feeling. And I went, oh, my God. I mean, all of a sudden it was like I was processing something from her that I picked up years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. And it's like, so what will happen is that my outer world's going to shift. Because I was like, why is this? I feel like I was, you know, back in high school sitting in the car, and it was, you know, Christmas Eve, and we were going to go and buy something for my dad. And I'm like, this was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I went, my God, I feel like I'm actually in that car. And I thought, what is it? And I was able to take a look at it and go, oh, yeah, okay. And so, yeah, there can come a lot of value. And one of the things now about so many people waking up, because the consciousness is really increasing, is there's more and more people out there that we have the same, what is it? We kind of are on the same level. It's not so lonely.
We're at the same vibration.
Yeah, we're bumping up against more people. I mean, I've had that problem where people that get it are the ones I talk to on the radio. Or, you know, on the internet I talk to people. But, and you know what? That's okay.
Sure.
That's okay. And I think it's just, you know, it doesn't have to be like Hallmark. They get a lot of money, and so does Sigrum 7, to put out those commercials. You know, and I see people scurrying around, and, you know, it's all about the trees and the decorations and stuff, and it's not really.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd call and share. Great topic to be talking about.
Well, great. Thank you so much for calling in, Rebecca. Please keep listening. Tell your friends.
Oh,
that's
will.
The way we keep this thing going, is people to tell their friends.
Oh, yes, and I love your show. And do you have a cold?
I do. That's why Nikki's on the line with me, because I'm having a... It's like when you have a cold, your brain fogs, too. So I need some help here.
I just have the brain fog. Can you introduce Nikki again? Because I came in after the intro, and so I'm not really too sure who you're getting.
Okay, so Nikki Lopresti is a friend and student of mine of the Akasha.
Okay.
And she has taken level two. And Nick, this is probably a good time. If you would like to get some people that would be interested in having consultations with you, you could certainly give your telephone number or your email address, whatever, or both, whatever you'd like to do.
Okay, sure. If anyone is interested, you can reach me. My phone number is 216-374-2906. And my email is Hi Nikki Lowe, which is HINIKKILO @yahoo.com.
There you go.
Great. Good night, ladies. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great new year. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so, yeah, and just as a comment, again, if anyone is out there and interested in learning how to access their own Akashic records, we have a Cleveland Level 1 workshop coming up in the first weekend in January 5th and 6th, and then we go to Columbus, and then Louisville. So Columbus is the middle of the month, and Columbus is the 19th and 20th, and Louisville is the 26th and 27th. And yeah, so please give me a call or write in. My telephone number is 216-691-1233, and I would love to hear from you. You know, I had an interesting experience this past week, Nick. There was a lady who was from the new school, and she came by, and she filmed her response to her Akashic Record consultation. Isn't that interesting?
Okay. Her consultation with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and what happened was is she's actually putting like a documentary together on her own personal healing.
Oh, wow.
And so eventually we're going to have her on the program, and she's got a website that she's working on now to put in where all the different healings that she has received and the response to them. So it was very interesting. And just as a comment there, she had a friend with her, and we're going to kind of go off the Akashic Record thing for a minute, but the Akashic Record consultation was extremely powerful for her. And then her friend had some back pain, and so I did some matrix on her, and they filmed that. And what was interesting about the matrix work, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, both Nikki and I do matrix work, and this is Matrix Energetics, and that's a website of matrixenergetics.com, and I'm a certified practitioner in Ohio here. But I do distance work, but this was in face-to-face. And so she started filming it. And so when we started out, I did the 2 points. You know, I just noticed what I noticed. I noticed that her shoulders were uneven. And I mentioned to the gal who was filming, I said, just notice that her shoulders are uneven. See, they're one's higher than the other. And I said, do you see that? She goes, yes, I see it. I said, and I asked the lady who was the client, I said, can you feel it? She said, yeah, there's something wrong with my back and this and whatever. She was saying, she was kind of doing a body scan. And so all I did was literally a 2 point. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know what a 2 point is, you got to buy Richard Bartlett's book, or you got to go to his website and understand that. Which is what I just gave you is matrixenergetics.com. So all I did was I did the two point on her shoulders, and within less than 5-10 seconds, I got the sense that pull my my fingers off. And I wasn't even looking at her shoulders while I was two-pointing, you know. And they were even. It was so cool because the lady said, I said, oh, their shoulders are even. And she goes, oh, my God, they really are. It was a cool experience. And to have it on film, you know.
Right.
It's going to be even better. So
yes.
I was excited.
I wish I had filmed my first experience with it.
Say that again?
I said, I wish I had filmed my first experience with the Matrix.
Well, I don't think the camera could quite move fast enough, you know. You were dancing all over. That was kind of cool.
Probably not.
So, yeah, so that, I just wanted to share that with you. So,
great.
So where are we
yeah,
with your questions? We have about four more minutes.
Okay.
Have we got any more questions here? Let me see. I have other questions if people have called in here. You know what one person sent in a question. You might find this interesting. They want to understand. This is kind of a controversial question to get into right at the end of the program. But the question was Jesus really born on December 25th?
Okay.
Yeah, don't just yeah. So, and what ramifications does this have? And so I asked. I'm asking the records. It was a little earlier. So what's the truth about this birth?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, and what the record keepers are saying, is that the holiday that we celebrate, or that many people within the world celebrate, is known as Christmas, is a combination of different ritual celebrations of the season. And of life cycle events, and that if, let me get this right, if a timeline were to be drawn, it would show that the man known as Jesus was born somewhere in fall, like September, October, somewhere around there. And I think that's interesting. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, definitely. I don't think that they can pinpoint it to a day.
And yeah, right, right.
I mean, that's based on, as you said, that's been taken over from a lot of pagan religions. They just took over the time of their rituals so that they could still have
right.
people still following that all at the same time.
Yeah, it was basically the church was doing
solstice.
It for control, yeah.
Right, uh-huh. That had to do with the solstice, and it had to do
right.
with the different, you know, the harvesting schedules and planting schedules and things like that.
Right,
but
right.
also, interestingly, about this, based on pagan religions and solstice, I mean, that is the time of, you know, we're going from rebirth of light, and we're going
right.
now from the shortest, the solstice is like the shortest day of the year, and then now it will get longer again.
Right, right.
And
right.
that is the constant rebirth of nature, as well as the, you know, the person as Jesus and that whole concept of rebirth and resurrection.
Right. Well, I think the other thing that the records are saying is that it's very important that we, as individuals, get very clear that when it comes to our quote-unquote salvation, it has more to do with our own personal knowing of our worth than anything outside of ourselves. So that's a comment that we'll leave you all with. Do you have any comments on that one? It's kind of like I said, this is kind of a volatile subject to start out to end up the program with, but it was coming forward, so I thought I'd share it with you.
Well, it is about saving yourself.
It is about saving yourself. It's about and it's about understanding that in the true aspects. You know, we are already perfect, whether we realize it or not, and that when we go from this place and go back to spirit, that our light will be as magnificent as it always has been, and that when we put ourselves in this body, in this flesh known, and we are constricted, we come forth for experiences that touch other people. And as those experiences touch other people, we all share, learn, and experience and observe together. And that's one of the reasons why we continue to come back to planet Earth. It's also one of the reasons that some folks don't like it here. But we're here, and we need to make the best of it, and we need to make it our own miracles. And that's, I think that's what this season is about, too. The sad part of this season for me is that you see all this stuff in the paper about helping this family and helping the poor here, and everybody gets this quote-unquote big Christmas spirit. And then New Year's Day comes, and everybody's back to work at usual, like usual, and they forget about the folks that are in need. To the point of the news and bringing people together from the newspaper point of view. So I would just like to encourage all those folks who are going to be contributing and donating and supporting families that are possibly have less than you do, to don't stop at Christmas time, to keep all those people in your prayers, not from a pity point of view, but from a support on their journey point of view, because we're all at different places in our journey, and I think that's something we all have to remember and listen to. So, any last comments, Miss Nikki?
Just a note for people, and you're not here in Cleveland, but I thought it was a very lovely thing on the cover of the Plain Dealer today. They had a picture of the world from space that John Glenn had taken.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, you know, when you look at the globe from, when you look at a map, you see countries in different colors, and there's all these, you know, separations. And he said, when you look at it from out of space, you don't see all that, and it looks a lot different. But realizing that you don't see the differences between people, and he wished that people could focus more on that and about the sameness of everyone as opposed to the differences.
Right. And the reality is there are no real boundaries in countries. It's all human-made.
Right.
That's right. We are one. Well, we want to wish everyone a very happy holiday season, whether you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah, or solstice, whatever is within your field of belief. And even if you celebrate nothing but love, that's wonderful too. We want to wish you the very best in the miracle-filled holiday season. We'll be talking about dreams and goals and intentions next week, right before New Year's. We encourage you to come back, email your questions to info@akashicwisdom.com. And give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and would love to have your input and your feedback. So at this point, we want to say thank you, Nikki, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me on.
You're a great help. I so appreciate it. And so we're going to close the records of the show by we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of this wonderful, wonderful program called Akashic Wisdom on BBS Radio. We ask everyone listening, may their hearts be opened and their burdens be lifted. And may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of this show on December 23rd, 2007, by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you would all join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Bless you all. Good night.